This is Sportsnet Today with Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Coming at you live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio in Calgary. It's Julian McKenzie here on Sportsnet Today. No Logan Gorton, because I do believe the man is not at 100% today.
We put him on the IR today.
He is on the IR today. I don't know if we could say retroactive to yesterday. I'm not sure how long he's not been feeling well, but get better soon, buddy. But no worries. We will hold down the fort in your absence. Packed two-hour show today. Crazy sports day today. The Masters is on right now. Pretty sure you've seen the news about O.J. Simpson. But specifically to this market, it is a Calgary Flames game day. They play against the Los Angeles Kings. That game could be heard here on Sportsnet 960 at 8:30. Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson will have the call. Of course, before then, we'll have a pregame show and Flames talk. Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers at 4 p.m. with Bat, and of course, Real Kipper and Bourne. A lot to get to when it comes to the Flames as they play the LA Kings. Jacob Markstrom, it looks like, will be getting the start. That's coming from Eric Francis, who is live on location in Los Angeles. Markstrom starting. Oliver Shillington back on the ice. We know he missed some time after he had that collision with Nazem Kadri over the weekend, skating with Dennis Gilbert. Blake Coleman not skating today. The team has come out and said that he is day to day. So it doesn't look as if Blake Coleman will be in the lineup for the Calgary Flames as they go up against the Los Angeles Kings. Again, day to day with an injury. And for those who are very into the prospects, we saw yesterday Etienne Morin get called up, signed to an ATO with the Wranglers. Jane Lipinski in the Vancouver Giants, signed to an ATO. Sam Honzek, also in Calgary, but he is day-to-day with an upper body injury suffered during the Western Hockey League playoffs. As I mentioned, we're going to get to a lot with the Flames. There is one thing I got to get out of the way now. It's the first few minutes of the show. We might as well get this through now because we have so much to get through when it comes to the Flames. We have Eric Stevens to talk LA Kings with The Athletic at 1:30. Adnan Virk, it's Thursday, so we're going to talk to him about some sports. And the Arizona Coyotes are going to come up as well. Greg Krasinski from ESPN is coming up. But we have to get to this because it is my birthday today. Let's get this out the way now. Thank you, everyone who's taking the time to call me, text me, wish me happy birthday. And in light of that, as we get through this first segment of the show, text into 960-960 your favorite sports-related birthday memory. Let's try to have a little bit of fun as we get through a very busy and heavy sports day here. But I'd love to know your favorite sports-related birthday memory. Cam, do you have one?
Sports-related birthday memory?
Like, did you get to go to like a Flames game? Did you get a jersey? Some cool memorabilia? Something sports-related? Relate to your birthday.
My first ever Flames game was on my birthday. My dad took me. I think I was 7 or 8. It's a great time. I'm pretty sure they lost. I don't remember who they played, but
you're pretty sure they lost? You have no faith in the team you cheer for?
Of course I do.
Jeez. Well, you're what, 25?
Yeah, I'm 25.
I mean, by the time, the team might have been at least somewhat decent.
Yeah.
I don't know. Show a little bit more faith. Connor's also working in the background. Is he back with us or is he still gone?
He's here.
Connor, do you have a sports-related birthday memory you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. So when I was 7, I got an aunt and an uncle that lived down in Denver, Colorado. So me, my dad, and my uncle went to a Rockies game on my birthday. I think it was my 7th birthday. I got a foul ball. And the whole section saying happy birthday to me. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that nice. Is cool. That yeah. is very nice. That's very nice. So if you have any memories of you like to share, just in light that it is my birthday, text 960-960. I already saw someone say, who shouts out their own birthday? I do.
I do. I think that's a fun thing to do. I think it's perfectly fine. It's a good show of self-love. Anyway, let's talk about the Calgary Flames and the fact that they're going to be playing the LA Kings. We know it is, we're counting down the days until the end of the season, and a lot of people are wondering about the young players. There's been a lot of talk about Dustin Wolf in this market and the games that he's been able to get, and people are wondering if he's going to be the guy in this market. There's been a lot of talk about Matthew Coronato. We looked at him at the beginning of training camp this year, and the shot and the offensive capabilities. He still needs a little bit more seasoning. He still needs a little bit more time, but at least the last little while, he's been able to play in the NHL. I think we need to start talking a little bit more about Connor Zary and the season that he's been having, which I think for the most part, when you look at it, pretty nice. Good that he was able to establish himself with Nazem Kadri and Martin Pospisil. Last little stretch, he had the injury that kind of took him out for a little bit, and since then, just been trying to find his footing. But I'm really, really into this storyline of him at center. I have not seen any available line combos at this point, but the last two games, Connor Zary has played at center. He was drafted as a center in 2020. He has played center and junior at the AHL level, but primarily with the NHL team, and with the AHL team as well, this has happened too. He's been used on the wing. And Connor Zary has mentioned, hey, you know what? I would like to play center, but I have found a home for myself on the wing. So I thought it was really interesting last week when he gets scratched for a game, and the first thing the Flames do, they put him at center. I think we need to talk a lot more and focus a lot on if this team really thinks Connor Zary is that guy at center. I'm not saying number one center. I'm not saying, you know, bona fide guy. He's the guy at center. But it's at a really interesting time when the offseason's going to come up. We're going to look at the center depth. Nazem Kadri's going to be back. We'll see. He's under contract, but we'll see how it goes with, you know, if some dominoes move. Michael Backlund. We'll see what Craig Conroy wants to do with this roster. If he wants to still be competitive or if guys want to go, we'll see. But does Connor Zary look like a guy next season who's going to be a number three center or is going to be a number two center? Is his future at center? I have questions about it. My own philosophy with centers is if your guy's a center, he should be playing center. And it's cool that they're letting him play it now, but I'm also intrigued if, you know, maybe they would have thought about doing that earlier in the year. He probably doesn't have the same amount of success, and it's a much different learning curve for him. But the fact that he's been able to make it work on the left wing and the fact that he's been able to be comfortable there and now you're putting him in the position of center, I get the games don't matter. I need a larger sample size, but I think we need to just get on the boat with this one here. Just start looking at the philosophy that Ryan Huska will have for Connor Zary at center. He did mention that he likes the flip-flop. He likes the idea of saying, you know what, if you could put him at wing, you put him at wing, you put him at center, you put him at center. These next few games, however long Ryan Huska decides to keep Connor Zary at center, very important. Will it carry over into next season? Will it carry over into training camp? Remains to be seen. But I know with the face-offs, it didn't look that good for him against Edmonton. San Jose got a little bit better. The Corsi in both of those games, pretty good. Huska was very complimentary of Zary after that first game. Thought his feet were moving and he looked a little bit more like himself. Just need the points to come by, but that comes with time. But I don't know. I just feel with Connor Zary at the position, I need to see a little bit more, but just in my head right now, I see him as a winger long-term in this organization. It's not to say he can't be a center. And I think the team acknowledges that they like the versatility and they would much rather have that versatility than anything else. But when I look at the center depth with Kadri, Backlund, Rooney's on the fourth line. Yeah, you could put Sharon Govich there. This team really needs a bona fide center. Whether they get it through the draft this year or next, somewhere along the line, they need a bona fide number one center. And while I think Connor Zary could be a good one for depth, I don't know if he's that guy for number one. I'm not saying people are saying he's number one. I'm just saying, like, even if you do put him there, that might plug a hole for now. But I would think that if you're Craig Conroy, between the draft, between the offseason, next offseason, whatever, you got to get yourself a center. Get yourself a number one center. Develop them. Let them stay at the position. Let them go through the growing pains and keep them at that position. And yeah, I get it. There are guys who have made it work being a center and a winger. The LA Kings have Quentin Byfield, who came up, coming up on the wing. He's starting to come into his own this season, but a lot of that has benefited him by playing on the wing with guys like Anze Kopitar. But he looks comfortable. Guys from that 2020 class, funny enough, same class as Connor Zary, Quentin Byfield, the second overall pick from that draft, and Alexi Lafreniere, the first overall pick, those guys are starting to come into their own now. Who would have thought? The draft, a crapshoot. Not only just a crapshoot, but the guys in the draft actually need time to develop. If only people had more patience. But I can understand that it's not always a guy has to be at center, and Quentin Byfield is an example of that. But I think for Connor Zary, if they want to have him as a center, I think there needs to be, from here on out, some measure of consistency at that point with him at center. But that's a fun storyline to follow. The fact that the Flames have these young players, guys like Connor Zary, guys like Dustin Wolf, guys like Matthew Coronato. I didn't even mention Martin Pospisil, who when Ryan Huska was asked about if Pospisil could have a future at center, he did not seem as enthused about that or as willing to acquiesce to that compared to Connor Zary at that position. And I think Martin Pospisil is probably better off at wing anyway. Just he needs to figure out how to wrangle himself in and not play over the line. That's fine. But for Connor Zary, these next few games, where they have the Kings tonight, they have the Ducks tomorrow, they have the Arizona Coyotes after that. I know they have the Sharks next week as well. Just let Connor Zary play center. They have 5 games, including tonight. Let Connor Zary stay at center. See what you have. See what he can do at the position. Reassess in training camp. Whatever you need to do next season. If I'm the Flames, keep Connor Zary at center and don't move him. Anyway, we'll go to some of your texts for more of the sports-related birthday memories here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Leave your name with these texts as you text us at 960-960. Gabe in Calgary, I got a signed Lanny McDonald Stanley Cup pennant for my 6th birthday.
Nice.
I love that. That's a great gift.
That is something you keep for a long time.
Lanny's great as a dude, by the way. Just obviously, this is a city that recognizes him for the legend that he is. But as a person, I don't know if you guys have ever met him. One of the nicer human beings. Incredible man. There's no name on this one here, but 2011 Heritage Classic on my 33rd birthday. Gift from my wife and spent the day with a good buddy. I love that.
That's really nice.
That's a very nice one.
Shout out this guy's wife.
Shout out his wife. That's
good gift giver.
That's a very, like, the Heritage Classic tickets, like, that's pretty, I mean, that's not cheap. That is not cheap. I love that. Put your names on these ones, guys, at 960-960. Send me your best sports-related birthday memory. This one here, my dad and I have birthdays 4 days apart. We went to Montreal to watch the Stampeders play the Alouettes in Percival Molson Stadium right before the pandemic. That's really cool. Percival Molson Stadium, I get it. Maybe it's seen better days. Just the idea of just hanging out with your dad, just hanging out with your parent, and just going to a sports event. Love that. That's a great story. I've noticed some other texts that are coming into relation to the conversation we're trying to have about centers from Kevin. Hey, Julian, is Jaeger a center or a winger? I'll tell you this. I think Jaeger, Sharon, Gobich and the job having to play center, I don't give him any faults for playing center this year. I give him a lot of marks. This team needed him to play that role, and I think defensively, I'll say he wasn't perfect, but I think the fact that he was able to be used in a top six role, play with the team's most skilled players, generate offense. Like, it's hard for me to find too much fault with him as a center. I think he's a guy who, if you need him to play center, you put him at center. Is he the guy who you want to see at center in 2027 when the building opens? I don't know. I don't know. Like, it'd be cool if he was playing on the wing next to a really good bona fide center. If he has to be the center, it'd be like, okay, you can make it work. Look, he's coming off a 30-goal season, but remember, he didn't spend the entire year at center. This is a guy who played center and wing to get himself those 30 goals. I think if you have to play him, you're not upset. But I think in a perfect world, you have him with a bona fide number one center who, or a number two center, and you have him on the wing, and you need, and you can put him at the position if you need to. Teams win through centers. They win through defense as well. You need a number one defenseman, but they win through quality, top-notch centers. Go look at Vegas. Go look at what they have down the middle. Jack Eichel literally won the Stanley Cup last year. First time he'd ever been in the playoffs. That's a top-quality center. You need them around the league. Anze Kopitar in Los Angeles. He's got a couple of them rings. Daryl Sutter knows about that. Quality first-round center. You need them. And you don't worry about, oh, you know, maybe they could play the wing. They're your centers. Nathan MacKinnon, center. Look, Cam, you can pull up the list of top centers in the league. Good chance they're high quality enough where they're, if they're not already competing for a Stanley Cup, they got one already.
Exactly.
Kent from Woodbine, back to the question for the text line. Your best sports-related birthday moments. Kent from Woodbine. I was born the moment Paul Henderson scored the winning goal in the 1972 Summit Series. I mean, first off, that's badass. That's awesome. That's awesome. Two, I mean, that works for what we're trying to do. I can imagine, like, you get to an older enough point, your parents tell you, yeah, you were born that exact moment. Maybe they had a TV in the delivery room where that moment happens. Like, could you imagine being born during one of the biggest sporting moments ever?
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine being born in 2010 in late February, just as Sidney Crosby scores the golden goal to win an Olympic gold medal? You're a golden goal, baby.
Got to start changing the names of these generations. Golden goal babies.
Golden goal baby. Like we had the little, what were we calling babies that were born in the pandemic?
Oh.
Was it just COVID babies?
I think it was just COVID
babies. It might have just been COVID babies. I don't know if they're little pandemic babies. Pandemic babies just sounds so wrong. I don't think we could ever go there with that. Here's another text here from Ryan in Red Deer. Happy birthday, Julian. Thank you. My birthday is January 5th, which always ends up being World Juniors Gold Medal Game Day. So I've witnessed many amazing victories and many heartbreaking losses for Team Canada. I'll say this. Great. I mean, January birthday. I got a sister's a January birthday. I don't know if that makes them an Aquarius. Actually, that's early in January, so maybe not that. But a World Juniors birthday is cool. We all know how great the tournament is. We know how awesome the tournament can be. So I love that answer, too. The next one here. Again, get your names in 960-960, your favorite sports-related birthday moment. I have a birthday that falls around Thanksgiving 92 when Roberto Alomar took Dennis Eckersley deep to win that game in Oakland. We don't have enough baseball ones. Get me more baseball ones. Okay, while we get more texts in, let's get back to the Flames while we still have a few more minutes here. The kids, with Etienne Morin coming, signing on an ATO this week, and Jaden Lipinski out in Vancouver. He's had himself a decent season. Sam Hontek's been battling some injury, but he's around the team. I'm very curious what you guys think of these young kids that are starting to come in, and I'm wondering how much time they'll get on these ATOs with the Wranglers as they make their way to the playoffs. I was at practice yesterday. That ice was flooded with tons of guys. They had like 10 defensemen on the ice, five lines of guys on the ice. And Trent Call, the head coach of the team, was saying, hey, man, we have guys, we have line combos, we want to be successful, we want to win. I'm going to be very intrigued at how much time Jaden Lapinski, Hanzek, we know he has the injury, but how much time they'll get. And hey, remember, Dustin Wolf and Matthew Coronato are playoff eligible. As soon as this NHL season's over, they're going down to the Wranglers. They're going to get that time. They're going to get that time. Jakob Peltier is down there too. I actually got to talk to Jakob Peltier yesterday. Actually, he's we saw how he it went for him these last few games, and just a guy who just not necessarily feeling himself. You know, he hurt that shoulder earlier this year. Looks like he's been playing a little bit better. I believe 8 points in his last 10 games with the Wranglers. Just a bit of a tough luck season for him, man. That's a guy who started the year, looked like he was going to get some time. He gets hurt in training camp, goes through all that rehab. But looks as if for the playoffs, he'll be an option for them. So good on for Jakob Peltier. But just for guys who want to see the future, go to those Wranglers games, see what's going to happen there. And take the time to look at the future, but just exercise some patience. I wish people were a little bit more patient in this market with the talent that's there. I know that this retool is a little bit different for everybody from what they're used to. A lot of people are wondering, okay, are the prospects good now? Are they going to be good now? This is the time with the NHL games not mattering and the Wranglers about to go to the playoffs. If you're into prospects that are with the team right now, take this in now. Enjoy it. Watch them. Enjoy them, and be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day, and there's supposed to be more work coming from Craig Conroy with the draft capital that he's amassed. Like, I wish people were a little bit more patient in this market, especially with Dustin Wolf. Like, I was listening to some of the conversation being held on Flames Talk yesterday with Steinberg and Aaron Vickers, and I know Logan and I have talked about it on the show quite a bit, but, like, man, I think people need to realize how long it takes for goalies to develop. Dustin Wolf is really young, early 20s. He's now getting an extended runway of time with an NHL team, getting adjusted to taking shots, getting adjusted to being around NHL players, getting adjusted to dealing with traffic in front of the net, making sure that he's at the top of his crease, making sure that the footwork is there. A completely different style of just different things to adjust to compared to what life is like in the American Hockey League. And what, through 7-8 games in this stretch or however many he's played this year, to hear people like, I don't know if he's it. I don't know if he's the guy. I don't know what's going on. Just, again, patience. It takes years for goaltenders to develop and for them to become a number one bona fide guy, established veteran. I've mentioned the example before, but Charlie Lindgren in Washington right now, which should be in his 30s now, undrafted goalie, took him years to come up through the Canadian system, goes to the Blues. Now he's playing well enough to get time in Washington. Just the idea that like a 23-year-old goalie could just kind of come out of nowhere and be the guy, like that's not as like that doesn't happen all the time. So I think with Dustin Wolf, you have to exercise some patience. Anyway, we still have a few more texts to come in. We're a couple minutes out from talking to Eric Stevens from The Athletic. He covers all the California teams. We'll ask him questions about the LA Kings. We have Adnan Burke at 2, and we have Greg Wyshynski at 2:30 to talk about the Arizona Coyotes and the possibility of them being moved to Salt Lake City. Just a wild situation there. But we'll get to some of these texts here. Brad and Woodbine, I think it's ridiculous for you to expect us to be patient. The Flames have sucked for 25 years. I think that's long enough for us to expect improvement. I get you, bro. But, like, the Flames are not going to all of a sudden just snap their fingers and be really good. I mean, if that were to happen, like, that would be really incredible. I get it. You're angry. You're upset. You want this team has not been what you want it to be over the last 20-something years. But in order for them to get to that point where they could be a legit team, something like what they're going through this season has to happen. Like, I don't know how else to tell you this. Like, you have to go through the growing pains of your young prospects. if you're a GM and you want to accelerate the process or you want some different prospects in your system, you're going to have to make some moves to get there and draft really well. That takes time. Go look at what Colorado had to go through when they bottomed out in the mid-2010s, and it got them a Nathan MacKinnon and a Cale Makar. Like, it took them time before they became the juggernaut that we see them as today. The Tampa Bay Lightning, you go back to the late 2000s with Victor Hedman and Steven Stamkos. It took them a while before they started winning. I'm not saying it took them Buffalo Sabres long, but there's a measure, there's an amount of time that has to be endured before you start winning. Doesn't mean you have to lose for years. You don't have to go through what the Buffalo Sabres are going through. And I know people have seen that they're not going to make the playoffs. They have the longest active NHL playoff drought. And people are like, oh God, like, you know, what if we end up as the Buffalo Sabres? Not every team's going to end up being the Buffalo Sabres. If you draft right, you get good players, you could be competitive again. It's just, you got to be patient. All right, one more text before we head over to break from John from Montgomery. I came to Canada on March 30th, 1967, within a week of my birthday, fell on April 3rd. I remember my aunt and uncle took me to a Niagara Falls Flyers versus Peterborough Petes game, the first time I ever saw a hockey game. I had zero clues of what was happening. Looking back at some of the players who made the NHL, Phil Meyer, Tom Webster, Phil Roberto, Rick Lee, Brad Selwood for the Flyers, Rick McLeish, Dick Redman, Ron Stackhouse, and Craig Ramsey for the Petes. Thank you to everyone who sent in some really cool sports-related birthday moments, and thank you to everybody who took the time to wish me happy birthday today. I'm Julian McKenzie. Logan Gordon is not here because he is under the weather, but he'll be back soon enough. Cam and Connor are working production today, and we have more to come here on Sportsnet today, live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, we are your local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. We are all things basementy. Visit Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Calgary.com. That's DL Basement Systems Calgary.com. Eric Stevens from The Athletic is coming up next. You are listening to Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back. It's Flames game day here on this Thursday, April 11. Calgary Flames on the road in Los Angeles. They play against the LA Kings. You can listen to that game here on Sportsnet 960. Flames talk at 4 with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. We'll have the Hockey PDO cast after that, then the Best of Flames talk. Then at 7:30, we get to the Flames warm-up pregame show. And at 8:30, that's when the puck drops on Flames and Kings. It's a lot of Pat Steinberg to go to. You might as well rename the station to Steinberg 960 The Fan.
I like it.
I was hoping for a little bit more pushback.
Anyway. He paid me to say that.
Okay, yeah, that probably explains everything. All right, Pat Steinberg, just, you know, he's the guy here at the station. I love you, Steinberg. Anyway, our next guest coming through on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline covers all of the California NHL teams at The Athletic. Proud to call him a teammate. Eric Stevens is on the line with us. We're going to talk some LA Kings for the next little while. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm well, Julian. How you doing? What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great today, man. I got to do radio for myself the next 2 hours. I get to chop it up with a homie and talk hockey for the next few minutes. You know what? There are worse ways to spend your Thursday, Eric.
Well, you know what? I'm looking outside at a pretty gorgeous day in SoCal. I guess that's not terribly surprising, but you know, there's you still savor it, even if it's on the regular here.
For sure. Way to rub it in that you live in a warmer climate than I do. Anyway, the Los Angeles Kings. I believe Cam Talbot is starting tonight. It is a win and you're in situation for the LA Kings tonight. If they win over the Calgary Flames in any fashion, they will clinch a playoff spot in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's start with a broad question here. What's been your read and your feel on the LA Kings? I know they've had the season that they've had with so many ups and downs. We can get into it. But when you look at them as a potential playoff team, if they win tonight, like what's your read on this team? What's your sense of this team? Like, what's your general feel?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, Joey. And they are in some ways difficult to peg and not so difficult. It's a team that had, they've had their share of twists and turns this year. And, one of those big twists was at midseason and that got Todd McLellan, fired from his job, and Jim Hiller is now in his place. And they've rebounded, and responded, very much, under him. I see it as a dangerous club, and one I think that is going to be a tough out when it comes to the playoffs and whoever they deal with. But there's a lot to me that has to happen with them in order for them to really put together some kind of run. Part of that is the fact that, they were cap strapped all season and couldn't make the kind of moves that all the other top teams in the West made, that Edmonton, Dallas, you go through the whole list, Vancouver, early on whatsoever. The Kings couldn't do that. By and large, because of their cap issues and, that they would be, in order to bring in someone of significance, they'd have to break up part of the team. It'd be a money in, money out scenario. So, can they win a series? Yes, they can win a series. And I think it's going to be, depend on the right matchup. But they're a very dutiful, determined team. And when they play that 1-3 system, 1-3-1 system, that isn't favored by much of the hockey world.
Oh yeah.
But it's difficult. It can be, when they play it to a T, it can be very difficult on opponents. It could be very difficult on star players. It often takes a superstar to break through that. They'll be a tough out. But as far as a long playoff run, they've got to have a lot of things happen within that roster to put something special together.
You mentioned that 1-3-1 system. I know you've been on top of that story. Nikita Zadorov, who a lot of people in this market are familiar with, was not happy. One of the many people who expressed displeasure about the Kings playing that type of system. Seeing the Kings play that and knowing that they've gotten some success with it, what's it been like covering that story, and how have the players been embracing it?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I talked to Drew Doughty about it. Tom McLellan was the one that first put it in when he took the job in 2019. And Drew himself did not warm to it. he wondered if that was going to really curtail or impact his offensive sensibilities. I mean, Drew's always been a defense first guy. That's been his calling card. But I mean, like anybody else, he wants to be able to create on offense from the back end and, score goals and whatsoever. He didn't warm to that, right away. But as he saw that, it not only fit in with his defensive mindset, but really kind of the Kings' identity, and stuff. They're a team full of kind of responsible two-way players. They don't necessarily have the star power that say, other teams have. They're about the collective, and so that 1-3-1 with that emphasis on clogging things up in the middle and making life difficult for teams. It kind of fit into their ethos, the Rod Blake ethos, for the organization. And then once you start having some success with it, why are you going to go away from it? the whole point is to win, in whatever fashion. And yeah, it's great to have style points that go along with it. But look, New Jersey and Jacques Lemaire are not complaining.
Oh yeah, no, they definitely aren't.
With the three rings that they ran, and this essentially is a modern day version of it. And the other thing with that, Julian, too, is it's not as if they just sit back the entire game and just, try to just shut down everything in the neutral zone. They do forecheck. I mean, there's you know, and you'll see it in the playoffs. I mean, a lot of their offensive game comes off of a forecheck. They will send a second forechecker in. But if it doesn't make sense, if the play does, you know, if the play in the end, if it doesn't make sense to send, you know, someone in and then get, you know, draw them out of position, they will quickly lapse back into that. You know, so it's a bit of a misnomer that they just play it, you know, 100% of the time whatsoever. But that is part of their identity. You know, they make no bones about it. They make no mistake about it. And, you know, people can like it or not like it, but it's helped them earn a measure of success.
In conversation with Eric Stevens, who covers all of the Californian NHL teams for The Athletic, talking on game day, Flames Kings later tonight, puck drop at 8:30. You can listen to that here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Eric, how would you assess the job of Jim Hiller? He comes in partway through the season, replacing Todd McClellan. This is a team that, I'm just looking at this right now, I forgot about this. They set the NHL record for longest season opening road win streak. They look like road warriors and then had this lull, and then all of a sudden Todd McClellan is gone and Jim Hiller's had to pick up the pieces. How would you rate his job?
You know, I would say that he's done a solid job. I would say that he's done what he said and he was brought in to do, you know, which was really, in some ways, you know, almost deliver the same message, but through a different voice. You know, I think just that stretch in January, I mean, the entire month of January, you know, where they went basically from a shoe-in playoff team, you know, and maybe, you know, some would say a dark horse cup contender to, you know, one that was kind of dangling by a thread at the time, you know, in terms of making the playoffs altogether. I think things just kind of got stagnant, with the club. You know, there were a couple of really bad losses. In fact, Drew Doughty and Andrei Kopitar, you know, sort of called the club, after one of those. I think just things had just gotten stagnant under Todd. And so that, you know, the whole classic new voice, you know, type of thing, that Jim embraced that aspect of it. But saying that, it's not a thing of where he's just totally carrying on what Todd did. You know, he's one to, he'll definitely change, make more in-game changes. If he doesn't like what he sees, you will see forward lines mixed up, in a hurry. If they're not getting things accomplished in the manner that they want them accomplished, I mean, he's played a lot of 11, a lot of 11-7 formation, in a lot of games, this year. So he sees it in a way. He has put his own stamp on the club, and you know, I think at that time, they just needed a new voice or different voice or, you know, something that just kind of changed the aura around the club that it, you know, turned south so suddenly.
Right now, as I mentioned earlier, if the Kings win tonight in any fashion, whether they go regulation or overtime, they beat the Flames tonight, they make the playoffs. Is there a potential matchup that you think benefits the Kings the most? Right now, if the playoffs started today, they would match up against the Edmonton Oilers. But say the Golden Knights get some points up on them and the Kings fall into that second wild card spot, maybe a matchup against the Dallas Stars could be in their future. What say you, Eric?
Well, I tell you what, Canucks fans are not going to want to hear this, but I think probably deep down they already know this. and the results of the season kind of played itself out. I think if you're LA, I think Vancouver's the team that you'd want to, you know, somehow in the opening round, because I think they just match up well. The Canucks are going to have a lot to prove. I mean, it's been an amazing season for them. Rick Tocchet is, he might be a shoe-in for the Jack Adams, but it's sort of new territory for a number of those players. And the Kings are obviously going to be a motivated bunch to win a playoff series, which they haven't done the past couple of seasons. So I think if you're LA, I think Vancouver's the team. Edmonton, yeah, it's you know, a familiar opponent, you know, and certainly, you know, there's inherent motivation there to finally break through on them. But, you know, I would still slot them above, you know, I would still make the Oilers the favorite if that matchup were to take place. Dallas is, that's not a good matchup. That's proven itself out in some ways. You know, I personally think the Stars are going to be the team that eventually comes out of the West.
Ooh, okay.
Stars are basically, yeah. The Stars are, I don't think I'm going out on too much of a limb.
Not on a limb. It's just I like the Dallas Stars. I think they're a good team. It's just that West is so difficult to predict. Like, if the Vegas Golden Knights catch fire, they're legit. The Winnipeg Jets have won four in a row. If they have a good goalie in Connor Hellebuyck, they could be legit. The Colorado Avalanche, they have Nathan MacKinnon. Enough said. It sort of feels as if we're sleeping on the Dallas Stars a little bit. So that's why I'm a little bit like, oh, okay, you're going to go with that option.
You know what? Okay, so say, for instance, if the Kings were to draw the Stars, you know, I think the Stars swept, I believe they swept the three this year by, and each game it wasn't even close. They're basically the Kings, but deeper and better. Mm-hmm. You know, they, up front, you know, overall on the back end, you know, at least 1-6. They're so balanced. They have, you know, their leading goal scorer is a 20-year-old Wyatt Johnson that's their third line center. Enough said. So that to me would be the worst matchup for the Kings. But, you know, as they say, Julian, you know, you got to play. They play the game.
Yes.
And you never quite know. But if it's the Canucks, the Canucks would be, I think, the quote-unquote dream scenario to pick among the teams that could be their opponent.
In conversation with Eric Stevens from The Athletic, he covers all of the California teams. Still got a few more LA questions for you. A lot has been made about Pierre-Luc Dubois, who had his time in Winnipeg, had his time in Columbus, and it seems as if this reputation of this guy who doesn't really give it his all is starting to form around him. At least that's the outsider's perspective. The season's not really going well for him. 15 goals, 39 points in 78 games in his debut season with the LA Kings. How would you explain what's going on with him in LA this year?
You know, that's really a layered question, or at least there's a layered response. There's a layered response, you know, to that. Number one, the organization that, you know, from Rob Blake on down, they were disappointed with his first half. Okay. You know, when Jim Hiller took over, you know, one of the things that was obviously asked about, you know, PL, you know, was, you know, what can he draw out of him? What is it, you know, what do you think that he can, you know, bring out of him? And when Hiller is saying things like, you know, I want to see a more, you know, intense player, more intensity. I mean, that's about as red flag as it gets, you know, when it's terms of a coach describing a player. That said, he's not lighting up the score sheet. Okay. I think, but he has been a plus player since under Hiller, as opposed to McLellan. He's been a little more, you know, dedicated in the defensive end of the ice. He's definitely been more physical on the whole. And when you've got Kopitar and Phil Deneau, you know, doing a lot of the heavy lifting and again, this Kings team is their offense is about the collective. Well, PL didn't need to be the guy that came in and just, you know, tore it up offensively. But he does need to be a difference maker. That's why they brought him in here, not only just for now, but in the future, to be a difference maker. And in that role, that third center role, you know, that the importance of it just ramps up in the postseason. That can be sort of the separator between teams. That's where he can make a difference. That's where he needs to be to make a difference. And, you know, we'll see if he can live up to, obviously, you know, the big contract and the expectations that were made of him. He's been a better player, not a tremendously better player, but the playoffs are going to be, you know, the tell on what PL is going to mean for them, not only now, but in subsequent seasons.
Last one for you, Eric. Quinton Byfield, good year for him. Almost about to be a 20-goal scorer for the first time in his NHL career. Is it safe to say he's arrived? And what is his future at center?
One, he's arrived as a NHL player that can make an impact. In that sense, he has arrived. He is making an impact for the Kings. He's, this has been his come up year, without question. Now, as to whether he'll ever reach his ceiling, what that ceiling is, all that whatsoever, that's still wide open in my opinion. This is a situation, and it's been a good situation for him too, where he's been able to develop, at a time he wasn't counted on to play, major minutes right away and all that. So, as to his future and what position, they've consistently said that center's not out of the question. Right now, playing on the wing has worked for them, especially when he's playing with Kopitar and Adrian Kempe, because they really appreciate that the fact that he's a guy that he'll do the dirty work as well as maybe score the occasional highlight rate real goal as you saw he did against Columbus this year. Mm-hmm. But they like the fact that he's committed on the defensive end committed to playing a sound two-way game. So I don't think center's out of the question. They don't need him to do that right now. They don't need to change necessarily anything right now. I think it would be great if he can develop into that, especially as Kopitar winds his career down. But I think it's still, as far as what he'll eventually be, I think it's still very much wide open.
All right. Eric Stevens from The Athletic. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on Sportsnet today. Take care of yourself, man.
All right, brother. You too. Thank you so much.
There he goes. Eric Stevens from The Athletic. He covers all of the California teams in the NHL, including the Los Angeles Kings, who will be hosting your Calgary Flames at 8:30 o'clock. Wow. Cam, you're not going to roast me on saying 8:30 o'clock?
Get your coffee ready.
Yeah,
that's
seriously.
All I'm saying.
8:30 o'clock.
8:30.
It's either 8:30 or just, goodness gracious me.
8:30 o'clock.
I won't focus on this too much. 8:30, that's when the hit 45 o'clock sounds even weird as that. Puck drop at 8:30 tonight between the Flames and the Kings. You can listen to that here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson will have the call. Pat Steinberg's got you covered with pre and post game as well. We're going to take a short break here. On the other side, we will talk to Adnan Ferk. A lot to get to, not just in baseball, but also in the world of sports. O.J. Simpson passing away this week due to prostate cancer. That's the big sports story that's gone around the sports world today. I would like to get his thoughts on all that's gone on with that and the reaction to that, among other things. We will get to Greg Wyshynski in the second hour of Sportsnet today as we will talk about the Arizona Coyotes and the possibility of them being moved out of Arizona. I'm Julian McKenzie, and this is Sportsnet Today. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.